Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
God hears and answers prayers. Nothing could be any more delightful than that, because we have everything we need in Him, and we can learn to have patience, to discern His will, to understand His influences, the wait periods we have. The first thing Isaiah teaches us is that God is the hearer and answer of prayer. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." Isaiah 58:9. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. These verses assure us that our God is no isolated depot, indifferent to the needs and conditions of His people, but a loving Father, sensitive to every want and sorrow of His suffering children, and for the needs in our life. He designed us with these needs, and He also provides what is needed to meet our needs, what it requires. So God never gives us a need for something, and then there's nothing to fulfill that need. He always has a way, and He is the way. How beautiful these promises of prayer. First He says He will answer, then not only will He answer, but He will come. He will say, "Here I am." Next, "Before they call, I will answer," He tells us, "and while they are still speaking, I will hear." Not only will He wait and listen to our appeal, but He will anticipate our need and put the prayer Himself upon our hearts, or send the blessing before we ask it. How beautifully this is illustrated in the Savior's thoughtful love towards Simon Peter. Fretting about their taxes, which Peter had not the means to pay, we are told that the Lord prevented him, Matthew 17:25, and sent him down to the sea to find a fish with a golden coin in its mouth, and then bring and pay the claim for him and them. Now, this is merely saying to us that there's nothing impossible with God. He can make things happen. He can put it in a fish's mouth. He can have it come in the mail. But when we pray, God always has an answer, and He's not limited by the limitations of the material world or the suppression of the satanic government. He did not wait for Peter to ask for it. So He knows in advance what we need. He tells us that in John, "Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him." So He knows this. So our asking is our relationship with Him and our communication with Him. It is out of our intimacy with Him that we live and move and have our being. So we must ask. John 15 tells us, asks Matthew 7:7-8 tells us, to ask, seek, and knock. So what this means is that we perceive a need, we feel a need, something is pressing, and we come to God with this, and we wait on Him in prayer. We ask for it, and then we seek Him. We seek His will. We seek knowing what direction to go. We can cast our cares on Him. So it's a process there. He knows the time frame that things are needed, and He's always on time. He did not wait for Peter to ask. He did not allow him to be embarrassed or to feel overwhelmed, because this was something that he would not have a way of resolving. It just had to be done supernaturally, because Jesus didn't have a job somewhere, and neither did they. In other words, they were walking in eternal plan for the salvation of humanity, a process that Jesus supported as the Son of God. So He is ever loving and caring for us, And as the psalmist expresses it, you welcomed him with rich blessings. The last of these promises, while they are still speaking, I will hear, finds a striking illustration in the message of God to Daniel during his long fast and prayer. As soon as you began to pray, the angel says, an answer was given, Daniel 9:23. God does not wait until we have teased or coaxed him into compliance with our wishes, but the answer comes with the prayer. That is, we present our need and we present ourselves and we search, and he is working. And sometimes he cannot tell us something because he's getting things together and he's working things out. And if he cannot tell us what is ahead, and he's going to customize that prayer according to what he knows as well. And that's where the waiting comes and the trust. But God always gives us enough to know that he's working on it, that he's with us in it. Whatever we're involved in, he is there with us. So we know that it isn't just rely on what we perceive, but the answer is coming. And it's very shocking sometimes what he has known that we didn't know. And when he responds to that prayer, when we see the answer, it materializes. We realize just how phenomenal it was, just how awesome God is, that he can work things out in a way beyond what we could ever imagine, because he knows more. And now what he has handled is also maybe something that was included in there that would have really been devastating if he had not been working on that aspect. The answer comes with prayer. It is our privilege to believe that when we ask, we do receive the things for which we pray. Indeed, prayer is as much a receiving as an asking. And in the very exercise of our communion with heaven, our hearts are comforted and filled with when the blessing comes while we wait. As long as we know he's there with us, we can ask, God, please guide me, guide my steps, guide my thoughts, my emotions, so that anxiety doesn't take us over. And so he encourages us even in the hindrances. Isaiah teaches us that prayer has hindrances as well as its encouragements. The first of these is sin, of course. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:1-2. God cannot recognize sin or hear us if we regard iniquity in our hearts. A willful indulgence in and tolerance of sin, of course, destroys every feeling of confidence and renders it impossible for us truly to pray. And as well, if we are veering off into trying to take matters into our own hands, it will impede God's plan that he would have if we trust in him, because we'll get in the way of what he's doing and set other things up that would affect the answer he will give. So our biggest issue is to trust God, to know how to pray to where we trust him, but in our humanity, we need some assurance, and what he will give us is his assurance of working this out and that he's present. He does it sometimes in a very small way, but it's just enough to let us know that he's present, that he's not ignoring us, and he goes about his work on our behalf. If our hearts do not condemn us, or if we do not drift away, then we obey his commands and do what pleases him, and then we have confidence. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we will receive it. And of course, we don't always know the full scope of his will or what's happening, but we can trust him and stay close. Indolence is also a hindrance to prayer. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins, Isaiah 64:7. What this tells us is that there is a blessing in trusting God. Whatever we think is a great thing that we've become addicted to in some way or the other is not really what God designed us for, and He has the best so that we can believe in Him, and that will take us a long way. Prayer is recognized here as an intense and active energy of the soul. It is called in James the effectual, fervent prayer. It has real force. Many of us are too complacent and content to know much of the power of prayer. God has a way of stirring up our nest so that we have to look to Him and we have to exercise our faith and come into a deeper relationship with Him that makes us more Christ-like and that makes our lives more effective and desirable. It means the walking up of our being and our intense earnestness of our spirit in pressing through difficulties to God and fighting the good fight of faith with perseverance and power in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. That's why we want to pray, because then we are engaging God in His power, His omnipotence, His angels, His omniscience, and so we really have a whole garrison there of weapons to use against anything coming against us or to plow the field to get to where we need to go. We often misinterpret the incident of Jacob at Peniel as though the wrestling were all by the angel. Remember when he wrestled because he said, "I will not go until you bless me." It is true that the angel was wrestling with Jacob to break down his self-sufficiency and subdue his carnal strength. But Jacob was wrestling with the angel too and crying out, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Genesis 32:26. Both experiences are true. Each has its place. The truth lies between the two extremes of passive waiting for God and actively taking hold of God and stirring up ourselves in the victorious conflict of prevailing prayer. There is no such intense exercise of soul as real prayer, and it wakes up every dormant faculty of our being and puts us in the place where God can pour His life into us and use us as the instruments of His power. He lives in us as a personal relationship and identity. We are seated with Him in heavenly places, both Ephesians and Colossians tell us. But He also energizes in us to will and to do what He wants us to do, what's going to work the best, what is our life. And so we keep ourselves pliable to God. Isaiah teaches us about this great lesson of prayer and gives us a picture of the great intercessor, our Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. So we come and draw nigh and come into that prayer that makes all things work for the good. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.